It was last November when I talked with a gentleman named Mark Ebner, a journalist who had written about Bill Cosby and the raping of women he had drugged, not just last year, not the year before, but all the way back in 2007 on his website, Hollywood Interrupted. And I had such a good conversation with Mark about it then that I heard these new reports about Bill Cosby, who admitted under oath that he had drugged women for the purpose of having sex with them. In 2005, in a deposition, in a lawsuit from one of these women who he had raped, the AP got their hands on it and made public the transcript of that document yesterday. And so the first thing I thought was, well, let's get Mark back on the phone and talk to him, because he's been talking about this topic longer than anybody I know. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me back on to kick off my I told you so tour.
Yeah. Were you surprised by the revelations yesterday?
Not at all. Absolutely not, because we knew, I mean, it was practically a given that, you know, in this Andrea Constant, this Temple University accusations case that was going on, which, by the way, the Philadelphia area prosecutor said that he thought Cosby was guilty. He just didn't have enough evidence to prosecute. There were women lined up. There were Jane Does, multiple Jane Does, whose comments and experiences had been entered into the record. So we knew that it was going to be explosive. We had no idea how explosive it was going to be.
Well, now it's 10 years after this case, which led to what we understand to be an out-of-court settlement. The story goes that Cosby told one of his agents, look, write a check to this woman, and that was pretty much the end of it, right?
Right, and he thought that it would be sealed, and he was correct for a time. But at some point, and you have to applaud this judge who unsealed those documents, which you can find all over the internet now. I don't know who posted them first. You can find them on Deadspin.com. The AP did release them, or portions of them, for sure.
Well, from what I know, the AP actually went to court to compel the judge to release them.
Exactly. And what I was saying is about applauding the judge is that the judge, you know, they tried to fight it, the release of these documents. Cosby's camp tried to fight it by saying, you know, listen, you know, this would be too embarrassing, blah, blah, blah. Embarrassing for who, Bill Cosby? Here's the thing. The judge didn't take the road of, you know, just saying, look, we can release this because he's a public figure and it's newsworthy, you know, slam dunk. He went on to opine that he was releasing them because Cosby had been propping himself up as a moralist all these years. And I think that was a brilliant stroke on the judge's part.
Yeah, now I want to come back to that here in just a moment. But first, let me just, for listeners who may not know the specific contents of this transcript that we're talking about here, according to these documents, Cosby was asked by Dolores Troiani, who was the attorney for Andrea Costin, the woman who was accusing him of sexual assault, if he had gotten drugs and used those on women. And he admitted that he had. He said that he had given a woman 3 half pills of Benadryl, and she then said that she started feeling stressed out and that he had told her it was a harmless herbal medication. But soon, quote, her knees began to shake, her limbs felt immobile, she felt dizzy and weak and barely conscious. She also claimed in the lawsuit that Cosby then led her to a sofa, positioned himself behind her, touched her breasts and vaginal area, rubbed his penis against her hand, and digitally penetrated her. The woman said in her lawsuit that she lost consciousness and woke up about 4 a.m. with her bra undone and her clothes in disarray, and Cosby was there greeting her in his bathrobe. So they also talked about Quaaludes, and Dolores Troiani, the attorney for Andrea Costin, said, when you got the Quaaludes, was it in your mind that you're going to use those Quaaludes for young women that you wanted to have sex with? And Bill Cosby answered, yes. In other words, he knew all along what he had been doing, and he had admitted it in a deposition. and for the next decade lied about that.
Right. And now the internet, Paul, is all abuzz with people wondering where they can get their hands on Quaaludes. Well, they're not exactly reading the documents correct. The Quaaludes that he was referring to, and this is where there's a little bit of a disconnect here, and I'm not saying this in defense of Cosby, I'm just saying, you know, he got his Quaaludes in the 70s. Which is not to say he wasn't raping women in the 70s. The accusations go back over four decades.
Yep.
So, that said, you know, yeah, to think that he'd been using, Quaaludes all the way up until 2005, you know, he must have had a secret stash or was importing them from, outside of the U.S. where they're no longer available, and they haven't been for years. The Benadryl thing, that comment, that was clearly an effort to minimize whatever it was he had given, Andrea Constant. Benadryl, you know, it's a sleep, it can be used as a sleeping aid, but it's not something that'll knock you right out the way she described it. Now, the other thing is, you know, a lot of people want to know what the paper trail is on these, you know, prescription drugs. That he was allegedly feeding these victims. Well, you know, he doesn't have to go. Cosby never had to go through, the channels that us mere mortals have to go to, go through to get prescription drugs. You know, Christ, he was Hugh Hefner's best friend. And if you look at, Hefner in the Playboy Mansion, you'll find that, and this is an interesting connection that I'd like to make. I wouldn't be surprised if Cosby was getting his date rape drugs, from Hugh Hefner's, private doctor who actually had his own room in the Playboy Mansion, and the guy he's been written about. In fact, his own daughter wrote an expose about him. The guy's name is Dr. Mark Saginaw, S-A-G-I-N-O-R. And, you know, given, you know, Cosby's freewheeling times at the Playboy Mansion and, you know, stories that I've been hearing coming out of the Playboy Mansion, like, you know, a very famous actor. I won't name him yet, but I'm almost prepared to do as much. You know, he said something along the lines of, yeah, you should have seen they pulled that playmate out comatose out of Cosby's room. Okay, that was just a quote that I heard. Well, I started following it up. I tried to contact the actor who said that. No response from him or his camp. And then we look into the fact that a playmate around the time of Cosby's alleged prolific raping took place, a woman named Paige Young, P-A-I-G-E-Y-O-U-N-G. I know I harped on this last time we talked, but someone should look very closely into her death, that was labeled an accidental barbiturate overdose, and look into her relationship with Mr. Cosby.
And there were allegations just recently, I think from either one of his ex-girlfriends or maybe one of his ex-wives, that Hefner had been using Quaaludes with women as well, correct?
I didn't really hear that recently, but, you know, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
All right. Now, I want to make sure that we're clear about something. You've used the word rapist several times, and I have used the word rape several times. And for anybody right. who objects and says, why are you using that word? If we were talking about a 26-year-old guy who had gone out and dropped drugs into the drinks of a woman he met in a bar, if he had put roofies in there and then right. taken her back to his apartment and had sex with her without her knowledge, we would call that rape. And to me, that's exactly what we're talking about here with Bill Cosby. He is a sex offender, isn't he?
Right. Oh, absolutely. And yes, rape is the operative word because, you know, when someone does that to a person, what they're doing is they can't give consent, you know, while they're under influence of, while they're under the influence of, you know, a knockout drug, a roofie, having been slipped a Mickey. There's no consent involved, so that falls within the definition of rape. So I think we can all feel, you know, as uncomfortable as it is to even think about that Bill Cosby, as it's been said, and I said, you know, months ago, is emerging as probably the most prolific serial rapist of all time. You know, that's what we're looking at here. Absolutely monstrous.
Mark, I just don't want to go back because we were talking about the Hugh Hefner thing. And I said I thought I had heard recently allegations about Quaaludes with him. My producer, Josh, has found it. It's in Holly Madison's new tell-all memoir, Down the Rabbit Hole, Curious Adventures and Cautionary Tales of a Former Playboy Bunny. She was Hefner's girlfriend for quite a few years. And in there, she says the first time she met Hef in August of 2001, he asked, quote, would you like a Quaalude? Leaning towards me with a bunch of large horse pills in his hand, she said, held together by crumpled tissue. And after she declined the drugs, quote, Hef did not miss a beat. He said, okay, that's good. Usually I don't approve of drugs, but, you know, in the 70s, we used to call these pills thigh openers. So so there's the connection right there to an allegation, at least by Holly Madison, who knew Hugh Hefner pretty well for several years.
Sure.
And we can round the circle right around to what you were saying about the Cosby-Hefner friendship.
Right. And that is, you know, people shouldn't take an allegation like that lightly from Holly Madison or anyone else. It's a criminal allegation. Because listen, I personally, I've had experience with Quaaludes back in college. I'll tell you, that was a knockout drug extraordinaire. You know, the first thing that happens is your knees start wobbling and then before you know it, you're out like a light.
Yep.
That's, you know, that was the original, use was to treat sleeping disorders with this.
Now, Mark, I want to ask you, if I can, about what you think the impact of this is going to be, because we know that the statute of limitations has passed on all of the women who have made these allegations about Cosby, whether it was in the 70s, 80s, 90s, or even in 2005. I don't know why the statute of limitations runs out on rape when it doesn't run out on murder. They're both heinous crimes, and you should be able to go after somebody until you can actually get them. But we also know that Cosby has not only denied the allegations of people, he has also gone after verbally some of these women, including Janice Dickinson, the former Price is Right model, who says that he drugged and raped her. And he has...
And I know this firsthand, how he was going after Janice Dickinson. Without revealing too much about my trade secrets, I can tell you for a fact that Bill Cosby's lawyer, Martin Singer, was using investigative services to try and dig up dirt on Janice Dickinson to try and frame her as a serial liar. Well, she may have told some lies and fibs in the past. She may be, dubbed an attention-seeking woman and this and that. But at the same time, once again, this tactic, blaming the accuser, blaming the alleged victim is not the tact to take, and that's what they've been doing.
So it's not
now
just...
the situation is coming to a head where Gloria Allred and Lisa Bloom, I believe, are the two high-profile attorneys that are representing a lot of these accusers in a defamation lawsuit.
Yep.
This is where it's all going to snowball, because then... these documents are going to re-enter, into the record. Testimony from these women is going to happen. This is the nightmare that Bill Cosby deserved.
Yeah,
and
frankly,
by the way, I might have to say, I think at this point, Camille Cosby, his wife, I have to say, I think she kind of deserves it herself. I mean, how long are you going to stand by your rapist husband?
You think she's an enabler, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, she enabled this by going forth and standing by her man, even in interviews saying, oh, Bill would never do things like that, et cetera.
Right. And in the real world, that's, that appears to me like being an accessory before and after the fact.
Yeah. The vilification of Dickinson and these other women who have said these things about them, and the way Cosby's attorneys have verbally attacked them is probably going to end them up in court. And from what I've heard from many of these women, it's not like they're just money-grabbing women. It's not like they're going after the money here. Many of these women have gone on with their lives. Sometimes 10, 20, 30, 40-plus years have gone by. They just want the truth to come out, don't they?
Of course, and that's exactly the way it was when I interviewed the first two women back in 2006 before I published my story on HollywoodInterrupted.com, which was republished on the Daily Beast last time we spoke.
Yep.
Now, you know, these women were, like I've maintained all along, were from completely across the country from each other. Tamara Green, an attorney in Northern California at the time, and Joan Tarsus, a publicist and a former comedy writer living in upstate New York. These women did not get together and collude. They didn't even know each other. They'd never heard of each other. And they told me the exact same story. When I put that together, I was like, it's on. And you wouldn't believe the pushback. You know what it was. Nobody, you know, I couldn't get any media attention. Whereas, you know, I've been at this game a long time, you know, and I usually have no problem starting a fire when I break a story. This one was a, you know, it's clear media complicity, you know, in that they didn't want to talk about it then.
Yeah.
Now, my own agent, I don't know if I told you about this last time, but I used to be a client of William Morris Endeavor, okay? And I floated the story as an expose book with my book agent at William Morris. She started screaming at me, Mark, do you have any idea how long Mr. Cosby has been a client with William Morris? You're just too dark, Mark, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you're just too fired. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing was that he was protected, you know, in Hollywood and by the media for far too long.
You know, even after we talked last November, Mark, and these allegations had come to the fore, he continued to tour, and people still paid good money out of their pockets to go see him at venues not just here in St. Louis, but all across the country. You think that's over now? Now that this has come out and we have written proof of him saying, yes, I gave women drugs to have sex with them?
Yeah, you know, do I think it's over? Yeah, I think his touring days are over. Do I think it's over for people that will still believe and defend Cosby? Unfortunately not, you know. I mean, you know, this is a country where we still have people, you know, waving Confederate flags.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same deal, you know. It's like, you know, people, you know, it's a largely clueless nation on these things. And, you know, they just don't want to admit, you know, that their hero is, in, from what I can tell, facts, a rapist.
Yeah, well, the Cosby Show's been pulled off of every network it's been on, including today. We got the announcement that the Bounce Network, which was carrying it, I never even heard of that network or know where it is on my dial. They are pulling it off the air in light of the truth coming out from 2005. And so I think it's going to be a long time before he can recover from this. And I hope that the women can recover something from him financially for all the things that he said. And I also hope he's forced to go back into a deposition, which will eventually be made public, so that those doubters who you're talking about will finally get to see the light about Bill Cosby,
well said,
rapist.
And look at this. Felicia Rashad, speaking of the Cosby Show, she hasn't reversed herself, but Jill Scott has.
Yes.
I'm waiting for Whoopi to step it up and see what she has to say now.
Yeah, Judd Apatow.
Her hero has admitted to feeding women quaaludes to have sex.
Judd Apatow today tweeted, I hope that Camille Cosby and Felicia Rashad will now stand with the victims and not with their attacker. And you're right, Jill Scott has apologized now that she says she has proof. And she was a very good friend of his and, you know, Grammy-winning singer. She said, I stood by a man I respected and loved. I was wrong. It hurts. I'm sorry. So
yeah.
There you go.
Well, good for her. But, you know, it's going to take a little bit longer for Felicia Rashad to turn around, mainly because she's got so much at stake. If they pull the Cosby Show off the air, off TV land or whatever networks are still syndicating it, you know, there goes the money train out the door. She's done. So Oh, well.
Mark, I'm glad you could come back on with me today. Thanks
for your
time.
Well, thank you, Paul. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Mark Ebner, who was writing about Bill Cosby's raping back in 2007 on his website, Hollywood Interrupted. And he also wrote about it for the Daily Beast, and I'm glad he could be here to talk about the latest developments in the Cosby story. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.